Notice I don't have any girls. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord.
Yeah.
My mama always let me be that. She never tried to make me into somebody. She never tried to suppress that in me. She knew I was a loud mouth. Here I am today being a loud mouth for Jesus. Look here. God knew exactly what kids to give you. He knew the mother for those kids. Let me tell you something. Before they were your kids, those were God's kids.
Yes.
We're God's kids. And I want to tell you something, ladies. We have a responsibility like never before to pray for our children, to lift our children up to the throne room of God Almighty, to place them at His feet every single day. It doesn't matter if you've got little kids. It doesn't matter if they're full grown. Look here. You never stop being a mom. You never do. You never do. When it starts hailing and raining and they're saying thunderstorms are coming, our parents are always on the phone and they're going, kill them and they get the pantry. And I tell them, look, I'm ready. Okay? I have made my peace with Jesus. I have had a very dark day in the ministry. And this girl's going to bed. I appreciate the call, but we're going to the divine. Okay? Don't worry about me. But we have a responsibility. Yeah. And I love seeing kids in service. I love seeing children in service because let me tell you something. That's where they belong.
Amen.
It's a standpoint that I can't back down from because look here. It's the thing that if the word of God says, if you'll do this, I've got an obligation to you. If you'll raise them up in God's house, there's a promise that you can stand on. There's a promise that you can stand on. Look here. Don't be mad at God when your kids start acting a fool. If you didn't raise them in church, look here. Don't be mad at God. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 22. We're going to be in verse 6 this morning. And motherhood is so difficult. It is straight up difficult. I can't think of anything that makes me happier in a split instant. And I can't think of anything that makes me insane quicker. I could be having a perfectly normal day, which is kind of weird for somebody like me. But I could be having a good day, and I get a call or something happens with my kid, and I think somebody's mistreating one of my kids, I will get straight up crazy. And if you give me half a chance, I'm going to mother yours too. And if I think somebody's mistreating this kid, I'm going to be after them. One time I picked up Sophie from school. She was telling me about the boys on the playground. And they were saying some things that I didn't appreciate. Sophie's like my own kid. She was telling me, and I can see it on her face. Some of you, when your kids are upset, you can see it. They don't have to say anything. This kid gets in the car, don't you know? And I can see it all over her face. And I can tell I was about to get sick. I said, Sophie, tell Pastor what your boy said, because I'm about to take care of this. He told me, I pulled out of that school zone where they tell you you can't have cell phones going. I make sure I was out of the driveway, because Miss Judy gets on me all the time. I come in Paris School District, because look here, they're going to keep them kids safe. You ain't going to be on that phone in the school, because Miss Judy's going to get you. She's gotten me a couple times, and I got respect for that lady. I got out of that school line and I popped that phone open. I told that principal, I said, look here. I do not appreciate what y'all are allowing to be said to my Sophie. She said, who are you? She said, no, this ain't my mama. But I'm just telling you. See, we have a responsibility as mamas. So in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6, it says, train a child. Train a child. Look here. They're not going to learn this stuff on their own. If you won't teach them, somebody's going to teach them some stuff you don't want them to learn. We have a responsibility. And I hate to tell y'all, but mamas that got grown kids, you're still training your kids. You're still training your kids. What are you training them? It shifts. It shifts. The responsibility in that thing, it shifts. I remember having a conversation with my dad 3 or 4 years ago. And I was going through something. And he's a normal parent. When something happens, it don't matter if your kid's 30 or 2. Somebody doing something to your kids, you're going to want to get them. He was listening to this, and I could tell he was getting irritated. And here's what I learned as an adult kid. There comes a point in time where your mama and your daddy, they can't fight your stuff for you. You're going to have to adult up, and you're going to have to handle it yourself. And I said something to him, and I said, Dad, listen to me, and listen real clear. I don't want you interfering in this. This is my battle. I'm going to ask you to just sit back and support me. I know this is hard for you to watch. I know it's hard for you to stomach. But I've got to get through this, and I've got to do it. I'm a grown person. And he said, well, Kelly, that's going to be hard for me, but sweetie, I'm going to respect that, and I'm going to sit back, and I'm just going to support you in this the best way that I can. Look here, you got grown kids, and you're troubled about your grown kids. You need to be talking to God about that. And love them kids. Don't let them go. I know how that goes. We all got family. We all got family. Your family drive you nuts sometimes. Good God. Don't let your family go. Keep a hold of your family. They'll constantly be trying to tell you, just give them the silent treatment. They're going to know what's going on. They need to look here. They're going to know that you don't love them the way that you should. That's what they're going to know. And so it says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is older, he won't depart from it. When they're older, they won't depart from it. You know, Wednesday night, there's times as a pastor where I'm looking around, and I'm just trying to get God's perspective on some things. And I was looking around Wednesday night, and I saw the most precious thing, and it just kind of nicked me. One of those things that when you feel weird about what your calling is and you're thinking, Lord, come on now. It's one of those images that kind of burned in your mind so you never forget what you're supposed to be doing with your life. And right where y'all are sitting, there was like a slew of little girls. I mean like 5 or 6 of them. And little girls be talking. Little girls are chatting. Say the least. And I sit with these little girls. They were just talking, and praise and worship Aunt Patty. I glanced over there at them, and they had their hands raised. And let me tell you something. If you can teach your kids how to worship the living God,
yes,
that's what you go with.
Amen.
That's what you go with. I saw these little girls, and they had their hands up. Then Brother Angelo, he said, okay, let's go to the altar. We're going to examine our hearts. And they get down, they got on the altar. And I just felt God said, you know what, Kelly, this is why you're doing what you're doing. These little girls, they didn't grow up to be full-grown women. What kind of women you want them to be? You want them to be women of God, or you want them to be women of the world? What do you want? You know? And I was sitting over here, and I just decided to come sit right in the middle of them because I didn't tell them to be quiet like every 2 seconds. One of them looked over at me and had some really big brown eyes. She was this cute little girl. She said, Pastor Kelly, where's the milkshake? I said, milkshake? She said, yeah, Dad, tell me I'll tell you about milkshake tonight. I thought, how am I going to conjure up this kid a milkshake? Because I don't like to look like a bad person. I said, honey, we don't hand out the milkshakes on Wednesday. So, these kids, we're going to be teaching them. We're teaching them from the moment that we have them to the moment that changes. We're teaching these kids, and they're teaching us. How many of you have ever been around your kid, and they taught you some life lessons? They teach you some life lessons. Look here. There's a lot to be learned from a little kid. There's a lot to be learned from. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 66. And we're going to look at verse 13 this morning. And I was one of them people. I like to plan. How many planners do we got out there today? How many control freaks do we got out there today? I like to plan and I like to control. And when I can't do either one of those. I'm really like a fish out of water. So I wanted to plan our children. And what I realized is there's not a lot of planning you can do with kids, a lot. And I thought, I'm going to have a kid when I'm like this age. Then I'll be this old when they get graduated and all this stuff. Well, when my plan didn't happen right, Dale, I started to get a little scared. And Jeremy and I, we tried to have kids for quite a while and just couldn't. Tried. And then I got on this fertility medicine. Now, that'll make you crazy. If you've ever taken that, watch out. Because you're going to have some mood swings. Radical. And we get up there, and that wasn't working either, Julie. But you know what finally worked? Me just telling God, Daddy God, I take you at your word. You said you'd give me the desires of my heart. So God, I'm asking you right now.
Thank you.
Make me a mom. We do a lot of things as women. But how many of you can say, being a mom is my favorite? It's my favorite. You know, Mother's Day for some people is not happy. If you're sitting here and you're grieving in your heart, I want to tell you from the bottom of God's heart, God is right there. Amen. I'm very sensitive to the fact that Mother's Day isn't always an easy day. But I want to tell you what, God loves you, and right up in that hurt, God's comforting you right now. So in Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 13, it says, as a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. And I can say that one of the most important jobs of a mother is to comfort the kids. How do you know? When your kid's upset, before they even say anything, I know. She said, it's like a little EFP. Some days before, when Carson wakes up, I know what day to really pray for, because I just know. Just by how he woke up, he's going to be not real right today. Lord God, please help his future, because God should give me all the help she can get. Lord, please help me when I get home, I'm killing. Lord God, please help them not get on one of those bad words that makes them want to go crazy. Lord God, help us. You see, the situation is already starting out rough. But one of the jobs that we do as a mom is to comfort. And probably the best advice that I ever received about being a mom was this right here. And when I got it at the time, I didn't know what it meant. I had no idea. Anybody ever give you guys, you're like, I don't know what they're talking about. No clue. So we were at our baby shower at the job I used to work at. It was all giving me stuff. And we got to the advice time. That's one of the cutesy things about the baby shower. We're all going to give you some advice. Okay, I'll take it. What's the advice? And one of the nurses, she stood up and she said, well, the thing that I can say about being a mother is that it's a lot of giving. And I thought, I don't know what you were talking about. Giving what? Well, a decade later,
glory to God.
Giving up yourself. Putting somebody above yourself. Putting somebody above yourself. I understand God a lot better now than I did before I had kids. Because I understand when my kid's hurting, how much I'm hurting. And it makes me understand Daddy God just a little bit better. See, God doesn't get any happiness from seeing his kids suffer. He doesn't get any happiness sad, depressed, irritated. virtue. And you know, there's places in our lives where we just say, God, I don't even begin to know what's going on with me. You ever been there? You say, Lord, I'm up in the middle of something. I don't even know what it is, but it ain't good. God, I just need your comfort. I just need your comfort. I remember many, many years ago, and I talk about Sister Millie a lot on Mother's Day. She was a great mother. She still lives. And when she talks, I try to listen because she doesn't feel like she's not a talker. I don't really know how somebody can survive without talking, but she doesn't. Carson's like me. He says, if I don't talk, I'm going to pass out.
I'm like,
you talking about mom? And you should worry about them talking, because I was thinking, I'm always one of those parents that, like, they even switch on. I'm like,
what's wrong with you?
You know? When they go somewhere and they work with me, I'm like, question them. Okay. Did anybody do anything terrible to you? Did anybody say a cross word to you? How was their tone when you went into the principal's office? Were they nice to you? When they kick you out of hand, did they squeeze your hand? Like, I'm not totally crazy about it. And so, my mother, when I talk and I say one of our biggest jobs at the moment is just the comfort. Just the comfort. I remember listening when I was about 19 years old. And my mother used to have this green RAV4. Does anybody remember her green RAV4?
Yeah.
That thing rolled. It's probably still out there. So here we are, and we're driving this RAV4, and I had just had my first broken heart. You know, when you're 19 and you get a broken heart, that's real serious issue. You don't think you're ever going to make it. So here we are, and my mom and I used to have a thing. I wasn't like an overly affectionate person, because I was wild. And I was going too quick to be real affectionate, because I wanted to get around. They used to call me the white tornado up in the church. They used to pass me around when I was baby and let everybody hold me. And I was very social. But I would crawl through the pews and I would take up my own offering of all the candy out of the women's churches during church service. I would say, there we go, we're going to take up an offering. And I would say, you got anything? And they would say, no, no, what? That's fine. Crawl through the butterscotch dessert. Don't just take all the butterscotch candy. To this day, I hate butterscotch candy. And why that's the only thing all the little ladies would eat, I have no clue. But they're gross. They can't pay me to eat a butterscotch. But here we were, and I'm about 19. And my mom and I, here we are driving. And when we were little, when I would drive with her in the car, I would put my little dirty hand over there and I'd say, Mama, hold my hand. She'd hold my hand and then I'd fall asleep in the car. We get over going to Clarksville. This is probably, well, I'm 35 now, so I've got 19 a long time ago. And I was just crying, brokenhearted, didn't think I'd ever be better again. And I just put my hand up. My mama took my hand. She didn't let it go until I got over my own stuff. Crying on myself. You know, sometimes the only thing that's really needed in your motherhood is just comfort. And I want to tell you something. There are times in your life as a child of God where you can say, Daddy God, I don't begin to know what I really need. God just told me. There's times where you really just need comfort. And what I want to tell you is that Daddy God is right there. There's not a storm that you could go through. There's not a thing that you're up against that He's not bigger than that.
Amen.
That He's not well able. So I want to encourage you this morning. I want to just tell you, look here. God knows it all. Mama, whatever phase your womanhood that you're in, look here. God well equipped you. You ever been a mom in your life? I just feel very inadequate right here at this moment. And I've been places And Brother Van, I looked around and everybody's kids were being good but mine. And I'm like, I got home crying. I'm like, Jeremy, I just don't know what we're doing wrong. He goes, I don't know about why you're saying wait. Like, I'm not doing nothing wrong. I'm like, how did she get her kid to be so good? And then I go back to my mother. My mother never said that about me. Look here. Don't compare your kids to other people's kids. You're going to lose them that way. You let that kid shape them. I'm not saying don't shape them. I'm not saying don't blow them. But I'm saying, look here. Embrace who God's making them to be. Embrace who God's making them to be. And so, you can't compare your kids to other people's kids. You can always come up losing with that. You can't compare yourself to other people. You can always come up short. God never meant for you to be comparing yourself with Sally Sue or Billy Joe. He's wanting you to be you. But he's wanting you to be the best version of who you are. The best version. A lot of people think, I got to get my life just right to go to church. I got to get my life just right to do this. Look here. When is everything just right? When is everything normal? When is all the problems just gone? Here's what God broke me of this when the pandemic came. I would say, God, when this gets over, then I'll be a better pastor. I'll be this or I'll be that. Look here. Let me show you something. The pandemic, you can probably attest to this being the medical bill. It was like riding one of those crazy rodeo mechanical cats. You ever rode one of this? Well, look here. Back in my day, that's what we did. I don't know what y'all do now, but that's what we did for fun. Give ourselves a concussion. So I would tell God, Lord, when this part's over, I'll be there. When this is over, look here. You got to learn how to just do what you're supposed to do despite all of what's going on. Because life is not this thing where we're going to just have everything contained and all of our ducks in a row. And I don't know about y'all, but all my ducks are crooked. They're all going different ways most of the time. And you know what I've gotten out of that? It's okay. It's okay to not be perfect. It's okay to not have it all together. We live in such a world, and it's really quite annoying because it constantly makes people want to look to the left and look to the right instead of just look up to God. But we're constantly, everywhere we go, We're tempted to look and to belittle ourselves. Remember, Steph, you go to the store and you're like, I love my husband because let's just put it right in your perspective. If I can't fit into something, I'm like, man, I'm getting fat on the cow. I don't know what's up. It's me. Here's what Pastor Jeremy says. He takes a lesson from this. This is what he tells me. They don't make them right anymore, Kelly. It's all on them.
Amen.
Dude's lost 100 pounds. But be you. Guys, be you. Be that man of God that God called you to be. Lead that family.
Amen.
You know, ladies, woman up. It's okay to be you. Be you. Be the best version of you. Be happy. When things aren't going right, stop. All of the shenanigans just say, God, I'm at a place where some things aren't going right. God, search me. God, try me. God, examine me. Lord, help me. God, help me to move past it. God, help me to get it figured out. Let's go to Luke chapter 2 this morning. I don't know about y'all, but does anybody in this room, you take things just a little bit more personal than you should?
Yes.
I take everything about 30 million times more personal than it actually really should be. A lot of times, if I'm really having a crazy moment, I'm going to go look for Jeremy. Now, he bought me a big old house, and it's a little hard to find him sometimes. But most of the time, I can gamble on the fact that he's probably in the bathroom trying to get away from me. Because he thinks that's going to get me away from him. Look here. Anyway. I'm like one of them little kids with my fingers up on the door. Let me in, honey. I got a hell of a therapy lesson right now. I need some psychiatric help. I'm coming in. Don't be embarrassed. Not nothing. I'm going to just sit here. My life is getting over. We're going to have a romantic little talk. Where's that lighter at? I'm going to get that candle. I'm like talking to Jeremy. And I'm always saying, he always says the same thing. He goes, you're taking that too personally. We take a lot of things in our parenting too personal.
Nope.
Anybody ever say something to your kid and you're like, instantly, you're hating that person. They always think that my kid. Oh, everybody's in denial today. You ever have somebody get on your kid and you just instantly, I never liked that person. Never liked them. No, really, I like them. They got on my little Johnny. Look here. Man, come up into this church. We're all family here. We're going to get on to everybody's kids, and we're going to love everybody's kids. That is. But we can take things too personal. We can take them too personal. And so right out of the Word, in Luke chapter 2, verse 41, it says, every year, this is talking about Jesus, his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. And after the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. How many of you parents out there, your kids have done some stuff that you're very unaware of? My parents, Albie has known me a very good portion of my life. And here's what my parents tell me. Kelly, mainly it's Kelly and Shelly. Don't tell us anymore. We don't want to know it. Don't tell us any more stuff that's all this. Please. Now, one time, this is terrible, and I hate to say this, Dad had a favorite coon dog. We hated that dog. We didn't give anything to him, but he knew we didn't like him. He got me and Shelly in the truck, and he goes, girls, I just got to ask you one question. Did you girls do something to that dog? I said, no. We did not do nothing to your coon dog. Don't worry about it. But in here, he was saying, thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. And then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. And when they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. And after 3 days, they found him in the temple court, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, son, why have you treated us like this? A lot of mamas make his things very personal. Well, here's Jesus. He decided he wasn't going to go with the family like he should. He stayed back. Here's his mama.
Put the phone away.
How many of you be tripping if your kid was
just for 3 days? Pay attention.
She gets that kid and she goes, Jesus, why have you treated us like this? You ever just really give your kid a real good guilt trip? I'm guilty of that. I remember one time, probably the only time that my kid has made me cry, is I learned how to tough it up. But I was sitting there giving a lecture. And I don't even remember what it was about. I think it was about being grateful. So I was giving a grateful lecture. You're going to keep giving it probably the rest of your life, so I'm guilty of that. So I'm giving them a grateful lecture, and Carson's sitting on the counter, and I'm going through this whole spiel, and I said, not everybody. everybody has a house and a this and a that and a blah, blah, blah. You ever given that speech? You're trying to get them to see how much you do. I am saying, I'm going to this hospital. Carson goes, I don't have to live here. In my little silly heart, broken probably like a million pieces, and I've got a crazy eye. How many you ladies, you got that crazy look, and you trained your husband or whoever, when you get that look, something's about to go now.
Yeah.
And I think the devil or somebody just got all over me. And he said, I don't have to live here. And I started hyperventilating. And Jeremy goes, here's Jeremy. He's really dumb. That man's got my back in his hand. He's my right or not because he's my sanity right there. He goes, he gets in between me and Carson. Now hold on. Now hold on, Jeff. Hold on. Whoa. Carson, you didn't mean that, did you? Yeah, I missed it. Jeremy's going, no, Carson. You didn't mean it, did you? Carson's like me. Jeremy goes, nothing good is going to come from this environment right now. So what we're going to do, if you ever need the very same person, I'm going to tell you to call
me. Glory to God, Pastor.
Don't call me. He's not right up crazy with you. You want somebody to go and do something to me, you call me. But you need the same voice that call him. I'm telling you right now in the church directory, you need the same person to call him. Nothing good coming out of this environment. He's very intelligent. But I cried all night. And Jeremy hates when I cry. He would much more rather make me happy. We're up in bed and I'm still crying. He says, what did I say? Say that to me. Over there, he's got some big ol' hands. He's a big guy. He's just patting me. He's like, honey, I'm going to tell you something. You took that a little too much. We got these kids. They're going to say some things. They don't mean them things. They just know what's going to get to you. And they know how to get to you. You kids ever press your crazy button?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Let me just tell y'all, if you figure this out in your motherhood. The kids know exactly where that button is. They know how to get to it very quickly. But even Jesus' mother, she got all beside herself. How could you do this to us? Look here, lady. We're going to sleep better at night if we can just stop taking things so personal. In every way, in every aspect of our lives, how many of you know you're somebody that you're prone to take things just a little too personal? You're prone to overthinking some things that really are nothing, but you're going to make them into something. Look here. God just wants you to rest. When he said, I haven't given you a spirit of fear, but I've given you power, love, and a sound mind, God wants that mind to be very sound when it comes to things concerning you. And so, here's Jesus' mom, and she says, son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. Why were you searching for me? He asked. Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? But they did not understand what he was saying to them. And then he went down to Nazareth with him and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor God in him. And one of the things that I want to end this service with is this right here. There's some things about your children that we know those things because we're their moms. See, men, they don't give life like we do. God gave us women the ability to literally give life, give birth. And there's going to be inklings, there's going to be things about our children that we just know because we're their see everything that God would do with your kids in the future, you probably want to wrap them in bubble wrap. My mama has called me many times. She said, Kelly, I'm just worried about you. I'm worried that you're overdue. I don't want you to do this. And what I realized is that to her, I'm still that little girl holding her hand in the car. But what we have to understand as mamas and as parents is God let this kid live out all their days to bring glory to you. How many of you love that snow that we have? I loved it for like 2 seconds. And then I was over that. Why? Because I've learned in guilt you have to coddle and baby things like the church building. I was down here about a million times. Look at every place, every pipe, every faucet, filling everything. And my parents, they love to be around their grandkids. Thank God. Praise the Lord. Do you want to take these two blessings? Go for it. And Carson is a lot like me. He's not afraid of anything. And there's always been a rule. It was a rule when I was a kid. It was a rule. It has been a rule from the very beginning of time. My parents. And the rule is this right here. Kids, do not go by the pond. That is the rule. For obvious reasons. Well, take my kids and give them a roll, and then you give them some snow, and you can be very intrigued by that whole situation. And my dad called me McKenna, and he was very upset. He was out of breath, and I was thinking, oh my God, what has happened? It got him so upset. I mean, I have put him through all this stuff. What could he have possibly done at 9 years old? And he said, Kelly, I'm just so upset. I think I'm going to pass out. I was going to be really mad. Because first he got in walked on the car. And I said, he did what? He said, yeah. He got in, he walked on the car. And I can see his little footprint all over the car. And I got so upset, I didn't know what I was going to do first. I'm like, Lord, do I strangle this little kid? Do I whip him? Do I just give him a good lecture? You ever have those moments in your parents that you're like, I don't even know how I'm going to handle this situation? What do normal people do when their kid walks across the car? So I got in my car, and I said, you put him on the phone. And I'm on my way over there, and I'm giving the best lecture. I mean, this goes down the best lecture I've ever seen. And I got myself, Brother Mike, so worked up in this lecture, I just started to weep. And I said, Daddy, I'm coming over there to get Carson Paul, and I am hanging up the phone right now. I cannot stop. Hang up the phone. And I think it's all over the video, because I'm thinking of all the things that could have happened. You ever want to sit and you think about stuff and you think of all the things that could happen to your kid and you start getting real crazy thinking, okay, well, I'll be giving you a note. Drop down there. And God just said, Kelly, just slow the car down because I don't want to talk to you. I want to get to you. And he showed me a picture of my kid. I began to see my child walking across that car. And I just broke. Kelly, you gave that kid to me from the moment he was born. There's going to be times in his life you cannot be there when he's in harm's way. Kelly, I give you my word.
Thank you,
Kelly. I'll be there when you see him. Trust me with you. See, it really all boils down to this right here. What have you done before? What have you done with them? you're raising in God's house? Are you raising them in God's house? See, that's a necessary thing. It's not a recommendation. It's not a word of advice. The word of God says very clear, train a child. Train them. Train them. Train them. There's so many times that I look at things that happened in the ministry, and I go back in time and I think, I remember when this happened to my parents. And I know what to do. Why do I know what to do? Because I saw it firsthand. There's a foundation that's laid so solid when you give kids the living God. They may think they're going to depart from it. They may try to depart from it. They may look like they're going to depart from it. But let me tell you something. God won't let them. He won't let them. Now, if you're in here and you say, now, Pastor Kelly, my kids are strong. What I do with him, look here. The perfect, effectual person of a righteous thing availeth to a stand firm. Look here. You got kids, you're concerned, they're out of your control, they're 18 and grown, they know it all. Hand them over. Hand them over. Hand them over. He had them first. Give them back to them as much as you can. Call their name out when you get concerned about them in the middle of the night, when your heart's breaking because they've made decisions you're not proud of, that they're not proud of. Hand them over. Hand them over. God, I give them to you once again. God, I lay them at your feet.
Yes.
God, I lift them up in prayer to you right now.
Yes.
God, I won't let my heart be troubled because God, you said in your word, you're going to take care of them. So God, right now, what I do is I pray to you that you're taking care of them. See, motherhood is like the biggest job. But isn't it the most rewarding? There's times I look at my kids and I'm like, how are they so wonderful? Sure, play, bro. And sometimes I look and I think, God, you did exactly what I asked you to do. This time I asked God, give me a kid. God gave me a kid. I used to hold Carson's little ball cap in my hand and his nursery that I made before it ever even came about. And I would just cry, God. Now look at all these girls and have these faces. All this stuff. Are you really needing to tell me you're gonna not give a kid to me? God, that doesn't seem right. And I would call things out to God all the time. All the time. And God honored those words. See, God honored those. Pray for your kids. Don't ever stop praying for your kids. Love your kids. Don't let them go. When they say something and when they do something, you want to rip their little head off and you want to say, why did you treat us like this? Why did you do that? Look here. Don't take it over personal. They're going to say things. They're going to do things. How many of you adults, you can say, I have said some awful things to my parents.
Amen.
I want to tell you, you need to apologize. But realize they're growth. You never stop training. You never do. Y'all stand to your feet. We've got a bunch of strawberries back there, cucumbers, all sorts of stuff. It's all right here. If you didn't get something that you want,